Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Comments made by author Stephen Hawking. A famed theoretical physicist, Stephen Hawking now says definitely that God did not create the universe or spark the Big Bang. In his new book, The Grand Design, scheduled to be released this month, Hawking argues that the universe did not need divine inspiration to come into being. Because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing, writes Hawkins. Spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing, why the universe exists, why we exist. Scientists mention Big Bang often, but no one seems to say what the beginning really was. They always say that when the Big Bang occurred is when time started. There must have been time before the Big Bang, right? Where did the matter and energy come from before the explosion occurred? How did something, matter and energy, come from nothing? How can something just be without something to create it? What is the true beginning is what I'd like to ask Stephen Hawking. But since he's not with us today, I'm going to lean on my two guests to help us answer that question. First guest is William Thompson, Jr. He's author, pastor, and fellow Blog Talk Radio host of the Prophetic Fragrance broadcast. Besides him today is A.J. Houston. He's poet, author, and motivational speaker. I'd like to say to them both, welcome to the stage.
Hello,
hey,
Carrie.
What's up, Carrie? How you doing?
Nothing.
And how you doing, my brother? You doing all right?
I'm doing
great, my brother AJ. How are you?
Oh, excellent all the time, man. Ain't no other way to be.
All right.
You all heard my intro. What are your thoughts about what Mr. Hawking said in his recent comments?
My suggestion would be, if someone puts that type of information out there and doesn't show up to back up their argument, that says a lot about the argument the person has in the first place.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Explain. Elaborate. Explain.
I'm saying, you know, he was definitely a proponent for the show, right?
Right.
He's supposed to be here, and I've Googled information on him and looked up some other things, and I think that's great. But to say you're going to be on the show and you have this profound bit of knowledge that you're getting ready to put out, but you don't show up, that's...
Stephen, supposed to be my kid. No. You know.
Okay, are we just talking about Stephen? Okay, I wanted him to be on the show. I got a couple of questions for him, for real.
Now,
as far as what you said, I showed you yesterday, I said you can just click in Bing or Google and put matter can, like matter, M-A-T-T-E-R, can. Mm-hmm. And the first thing will come up is the first law of science that says matter can neither be created nor destroyed. So to go on a proponent that gravity is going to change matter is ludicrous. You know, I don't think any scientist would agree with that. So if matter can't be created or destroyed, it can only be changed in form or substance. So you can't create something from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Only God can.
Hmm. Okay. Bill Thompson.
Well, from my standpoint, from where I sit, I would totally annihilate and totally disregard his theory from the standpoint of the fact that if he has this kind of knowledge where he's a Johnny come lately, he just got here. But we're talking about a God who's been here all the time.
Mm.
God who was here even before time, because he's the God of eternity. He's neither a habit or creature of time, but the creator, the starter, the beginner, and the finisher of time. So I think God would have the greatest say on the matter. Neither, while I'm at this point, neither do I feel that God is even on heaven popping Rolaids up with an upset stomach, nervous or concerned. Oh, my God, this guy's got something here. No, I don't think so at all.
Hmm. Let me define for those who don't know what the Big Bang Theory is, what the Big Bang Theory is. The theory that the universe originated sometimes between 10 billion and 20 billion years ago from the cataclysmic explosion of a small volume of matter at extremely high density and temperatures. So he's saying, you know, that God didn't have anything to do with that. We'd have to believe, first of all, that the Big Bang Theory is how we got here in the first place to even care about his theory, correct?
Well, I think the last word in the Big Bang actually explains it all itself, the Big Bang Theory, because if they knew, they would just call it the Big Bang and explain it. But when it's the Big Bang Theory, that it means that somebody had to theorize, okay, how could this become? And I'm saying if, when you Google all the different scientists and all the different arguments, they're not even in agreement in the scientific world. So for somebody to come out with such profound information as though he has conclusively discovered something and everybody's not on board, which means that the my theory of publishers and books, I have a theory of books. My theory of books is that when you come out, you have to say something that nobody else said. You have to either declare something or disprove something to be a notable author. Anywhere, be posted in journals or whatever. So you have to say something to get noticed. And later on, you can come and publish your other book and say, you know, after further discoveries and further, you know, after further discoveries and, you know, further deliberation, we've discovered that my first, you know, analogy or my experiment was wrong. And everybody will follow your books because you've already established yourself as being somebody beyond the measure of or the realm of thinkers like the usual thinkers, usual scientists. So you have to publish something so people will actually look at you because then you're just in the library of books.
Mm. So, Thompson, what was your definition of science?
My definition of science, in which AJ just covered it, science, in my understanding, by their own admission, science does not purport to establish facts. Their points are to disprove facts. If they can find reason to create doubt or to destroy what is supposed to be a fact, to destroy the foundation upon what creates a fact, that's their purpose, is to disprove to disprove anything which comes into a place of theory, which is, this is what I think. In other words, to bring it into question, bring facts into question. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me go back to one of the questions I asked in the intro. Where did matter and energy come from before the explosion occurred?
You would find it in the theory that you had, because, if you know, to answer that, I'm going to say, like, I have three sons at home, my 10-year-old. I tell them every day to ask me a question when they get home. So my 10-year-old came in and said, "Dad, I have a question only God can answer." I said, "Okay, what's that?" You know, because I feel like I know a bunch of things, so just drop it on me. He said, "When the earth was formed, what side of the planet hit the sun first?" So I had to tell him, I said, "Well, son, you ask God when you get there, because you're not going to find anybody with that answer, regardless of who says what planet came up when the sun came. Nobody was there to notice." So we are talking about things that nobody was there to notice. Everybody's, you know, every day they're finding out new information when they get new technology and they're dispelling new theories and old theories, and the world's no flat no more, can't nobody fall off the edge, you know. And then Saturn don't have as many rings, and then a couple of planets are no longer planets because they're too small. So you see how the scientific world is actually swallowing itself up.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Carey, I would say at this time, even to you and to my fellow co-host here, I don't spend much time following science. Because I think at best science has a tendency to disgust me as I look at science relative to faith, you know. And the thing is that they waste a lot of time. What we find in science, they spend more time disproving each other, because I believe that they have found, whether they want to admit or not, they can't disprove God.
But you feel like this is a war between science and faith.
I feel like this is definitely a war between science and faith, which has been for many years.
Okay, so do you think these types of theories are meant to undermine our faith?
I believe that they are. I believe that these types of theories are strictly to undermine faith, to change the ideas of faith so that we would follow the laws of science or really bring us into the alignment of man.
And Pastor, I'm in agreement with that, but I think something has to be included in that statement, because I also believe that the statements are made because we are in an instantaneous gratification era right now, to where when you say something, if it's heard and a lot of people listen, even if they click on YouTube or whatever and you get all these followers, they're going to bring you on some whatever show and say, "Hey, you have 1 million followers on YouTube. You know, okay, now what were you saying?" Because that brings notoriety, that instant kind, that money kind. So people will say whatever they think will bring them the most notoriety and the most money at the present time, because that's really what they're all about.
Which is also in the alignment of man. Man is all about money.
Exactly. I'm saying I was in agreement with you. I was just adding that flavor to it.
Oh,
you know,
great.
Add another teaspoon of sugar to your Kool-Aid.
Well, let me ask you this then, Bill. From a biblical standpoint, how, going through the Bible, could we disprove his theory just based on Bible?
Just based on Bible, we can disprove his theory Genesis 1 and 1, which is the mother of, or the basic foundation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, but those few words, in the beginning, God. I mean, you can't answer it any other way because, as AJ has stated, most of them, they start with their theories. But they don't start, or perhaps it may have been yourself, Carrie, who stated they don't start with a beginning. They just start with a theory. Their theories are always based on an afterthought, an after effect. You know, we don't know how all this all came to be. We can't explain it. Matter of fact, we don't really care to explain it, but we just want to tell you that it happened. But the Word of God explains it from the fact that in the beginning, God. And he did this. He made this happen. He made that to be. He spoke that, and it became, and it is so.
AJ, did you quote a scripture when we were doing the pre-interview last night that collaborated?
Yeah. He used the same one in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, but he said, I think it says in the beginning was the Word.
Okay.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was
Saint
God.
St. John 1 and 1.
Yeah, so what I was telling her in our pre-discussion, I say, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Yeah.
And I say, but as humans, as English speakers, we've taken so many parts of the English language, dissected it, and made it be something that it's not. So in the beginning was the Word, so the Word is a form, the Word is a person, the Word is a being, but we want the Word to be what we think we speak out of our mouths. So in the beginning was God and Jesus, so Jesus was the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the precursor where I was going with it, so.
Okay. But doesn't it, you know what, I was looking at Mr. Hawkins' background, and basically he's a scientist in theory. And his ex-wife defines him as an atheist. So if he studies sciences that deal with the universe, and let's just say his wife is correct and he is an atheist, doesn't it stand to reason that eventually the atheist would come to the conclusion that God didn't have anything to do with the universe?
Well, see, first, I think every atheist have to prove that there is no God.
Mm.
Because you can only be an atheist if you assume there is a God and you say, I don't believe in God, so why would you consider yourself something against something you don't believe in?
Hmm. Very true. See, my theory on the whole thing is if God, let's just say, my belief is there is a God, and if God created man, okay, and we know in God there is no failure, he's an absolute, and in God, in man we know he's flawed. So then doesn't it stand to reason that if man is the theorist of science, then his theories can be flawed? So therefore, if we're going to believe something, we should believe what's absolute and not that the subject could be flawed? Or did that make sense?
No, it definitely makes sense.
Okay.
It makes a lot of sense. I understand exactly what you're saying. But, you know, you're just saying that if God is absolute and we are – we are his creation.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't that make us wanting to be absolute but not being able to be absolute?
Absolutely.
You know, so even in our studies and even in the degree programs and even everybody that has any knowledge on anything, you have people that are scientists, you have people that are mathematicians, you have people that go to college just for sports. But so they bear the label of what they think they are.
Mm.
But we're all just humans.
Hmm.
So just because you bear a label, don't limit your humanistic abilities. It doesn't change who you are and how you're flawed in all the other subjects. You play football, but you don't know how to read.
Hmm.
You're a scientist, but you're not good at mathematics. You're an English teacher, but science was never your strong point. So I'm saying all these things that we think we specialize in, if you pick one specialty when you have somebody that specializes in everything, that still makes you flawed.
Hmm. Very true. Weren't there other scriptures, though, that absolutely poked a hole in his theory? I mean, if we were just going to go down through the Bible.
Let me see.
Bill Thompson, was there not other scriptures that you quoted me besides Genesis 1 and 1? I think we lost Bill Thompson for some. Uh-oh. For some reason, looks like we lost him. Bill Thompson,
okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We're here.
Were there other scriptures that you said absolutely poked a hole in his theory?
Yes, ma'am. Now I am. I'm sitting here looking now, and we'll sort of have to extrapolate, go backwards. But I'm looking at 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But the foundation of the Lord standeth sure." No one can move or remove that foundation of the Lord. Psalms, for instance, Psalms 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. See, works. They've been working their science. They've been going after science, theories. One of the things that I'd like to say is I don't understand how it makes sense to those who practice science to continue trying to prove something that hasn't been proved through millenniums. Science is not a brand new thing. This theory that he's dealing with is not brand new. They've been after this even in the times before Jesus came to the earth, and back before then, they've been trying to say that there is no God. There is God. God is not God. They chose other gods. They made false gods. There are other scriptures that poke holes in that theory. One of the scriptures you gave us, one of the scriptures we discussed, rather, was, let me see, I have it written down right here before me. One of the scriptures that we discussed was Nehemiah 9:6, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I mean, the Bible is chocked full of the knowledge of the fact that God is. I'd like to ask this question. I'd like to pose this question, and I know you're the host and you're asking the question, but if the earth just became out of a big bang, well, then how is it that God seems to have taken over it, and everybody in the Bible says the earth is the Lord and it belongs to God? How is that God said the earth is mine? You know, the cattle of 1,000 hills belong to me. The earth is mine. God created it, you know. So what, did God just take over something that somebody else is responsible for? No, that's the way of man. We take over that God have created. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And I know that anyone who has come up with theories that God can't be God is not somebody that's seeking God, but seeking to disprove God.
But didn't Darwin come up with the theory of evolution, and they disproved that?
That theory was also disproved, yes, because the theory was that we just evolved into something. We came from slime, from a seed, from slime in the seed, and it turned into this, and then it turned into that, and it turned into that, and then finally turned into apes, and then apes evolved into man. So we just became from a slime into a walking upright man. Well, I'd like to know who was there to document all of these facts.
Mm. Hey, Pastor, I say, if Earth evolved from man like they say, shouldn't there be apes in the zoo trying to get out today and say, hey, man, hey.
That's the worst. As a matter of fact, there should be no more apes.
I've evolved. Let me out.
Exactly. There should be no more apes. Wow.
Seems
like if man evolved from apes, all of the apes would be gone.
I agree. But see, and going to another theorist, didn't Isaac Newton's theory get shot down about the law of motion? Wasn't that disproved?
Well, the thing is, they're still battling that, too. So I'm saying, and see, that's the thing. You have scientists that stand on different platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
exactly.
You know, because they want to prove that this person was right. Because see, when somebody come up with a theory, you can't come out with your own. Like the brother that we're talking about, you know, Brother Hawkins,
mm-hmm.
you know, came out with not his own, but he wants to be the proponent of something different. But everybody would go with Newton or with whoever else said that this happened or this occurred to try and prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what science does. They try and prove something or completely disprove something. So when they find something they can't disprove, they try and prove something else because you can't be a scientist not doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be for or against something. You just figure out which one you want to be.
That's right. Their basics, though, is to disprove. They start with something that is already, with the mind to disprove it, to disprove the fact that it really is. And you're right. Once they cannot disprove it, then they start trying to prove another fact. Or the whole thing is to get your mind off track. If we really look at science, the very beginning of science is psi, and which is the same or the basic word or the prefix of psych. Science is all about psyching the mind. It's psychological, to get into your mind. If you notice, most of our basic degrees are called bachelors of science. Why? Because we go to school and sit down in colleges to learn how to deal with the expanded usage of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not just thinking out of the box. We're just thinking crazy. Just go think. Just whatever you do, just think.
No, but you know, even with that, that's what I was telling yesterday. I said, well, one thing that we really have to focus on, like, to me, 2 Timothy 2:15 is always and will always be probably, to me, one of the most important things that people need to read and understand.
Right.
Because, you know, it just says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And see, a workman, see, it's a study and workman. That's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about people that are studying other fields and other fields of study. But a workman is somebody that is not every now and then visiting, you know, or stopping by or just peeping in the door. It's somebody that's working on it, you know what I'm saying? Because you have so many different, I'm saying you have so many different denominations of faith, so many people that believe certain books and don't believe other books, and you have all these other things. So what you have to do is you have to understand and ascertain for yourself what God would give you from reading the scriptures, so when somebody else reads them, it's not your first time hearing them.
Exactly.
Because if it's your first time hearing them, you're going to believe whatever they say, how they say it.
That's a good word, and I think one of the things that's missing most of the time, especially in religion, what's missing is that the Bible is a complete picture. I mean, we wouldn't go to an art museum to look at half a painted picture, or to look at a picture that's only painted over in this corner or maybe in that corner, and that corner's omitted, or it's painted in all four corners but the center is omitted. No, the Bible is a completed picture from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 and whatever the last verse there is in Revelation. It's a completed picture, a finished picture.
Well, let me add something to the scientist aspect of that. I was reading that for scientists, when they're proving a theory, when they have 10 experiments with consistent results, that constitutes proof in their theories.
Okay.
So that within their experimental error, so I guess they have a margin of error. So they're saying, okay, if 10 times I put this equation together and it comes out the same, then therefore that is. But in actuality, doesn't that stand to reason that the 11th time could have come out something different? And so science has no final authority.
Please forgive me. Yeah. What
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And what I see with that, if we look at it like this, what I see is a parallel to grace.
Mm.
Because what grace does is it allows us, grace, you know, when we're even paying bills, we have sometimes a grace period. Where if you don't pay it on this day, you may get 10 days to pay it before you consider really late, or you really get that late charge, or you really get that you know, that penalty, you know, for not having paid this obligation. And I see that parallel. You know, if we're going to try this many times, blah, 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 blah. See, all we can do is duplicate or try to duplicate what God has already set in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why.
But see, with God, though, he doesn't need 10 tries.
He doesn't need 10 tries.
Because there's no failure error margin for him. Everything
right,
is absolute.
Right. But it's for man. Grace is for man, not for God.
But no, I'm saying God versus science.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
God versus
there's
science.
No failure in God.
Yes.
No failure at all.
No failure whatsoever in God. And so just looking at the thought that they can come up with 10 different tries and consider that proof, consistent proof,
okay,
constitute proof, that's scary by itself. And we're calling this science because basically science is only as good as the last theorist says it is. So So one guy says one thing, and he proves 10 times that, okay, this is right, and then somebody comes along 15 minutes later and disproves him because he comes up with it or something different, and 10 times it's consistent, so therefore it's considered to be constituted for proof. That's crazy.
But Kerry, the problem with the whole thing is that when you're looking at the way a scientist actually does an experiment or proves something, you have to look at the room temperature, the type of glass used, the variance in heat, and all these other things. Somebody can do the same experiment, and the room temperature is 1 degree less, and it won't work. So I'm saying you have to have all these perfect conditions to continually duplicate whatever it is they're trying to do. So that's why I'm saying just pull up a science journal and see what you want to read. I'm saying everybody has something that they've proven out there that's matter-of-factly nothing.
Well, I'd like to say this even to AJ. Here's what I've discovered. I discovered that even with science, with all of their findings, they have to start with all of God's stuff.
Exactly.
It's God who established the temperature. It's God who put the earth there. They have to go and get God's sand. They have to get God's ocean. They have to get this thing there now. They're really, really, really dealing with duplicating animals that they. What are they calling that?
Cloning.
They have to start with what is already created to clone.
Oh, it's the recreation process.
Exactly.
Basically. You know, they want to say they created something, but I'm with you on that.
Yeah, but they can't do it. They have to start with what God has already put here. Now, my thing is this. If you're going to prove that God does not exist and that God didn't create it, if God is not the man, you've got to start with nothing like God did.
But that was the argument I started off with. Matter can neither be created nor destroyed. So
in your initial statement
that gravity made something happen or made something appear that was not there.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity only pulls something that's already there.
That's right.
That's the purpose of gravity.
Be on the same page with you, my brother. I'm telling you, it's good to be on the same page. And another thing, Ms. Kerry, I'll say this. One of the things that really messes up their scientific theory is if God is not the creator of heaven and earth, then where did you come from, Mrs. Scientist? Where did you come from? Okay, where did your parents come from? Okay, where did their parents come? Okay, and why? And the why went all the way back to your Big Bang Theory or your theory of evolution. Okay, if all of that is so, who was there to document these facts for you in order for you to begin disproving them? Who was there? What we find is that God was there, and they started off with what God has said to try to disprove God.
Yeah, and see, the theories are more like African Americans in America. We are still chasing down our roots because even on the slave ships, they had no names or origin of reference. They only had gender and age of the people that were there on a registry. So you have to go through and hope that you've picked the right person. So they're swabbing cheeks and gums to find out what area you probably came from because they're checking DNA of different regions. So I'm saying, so if you can't do that and go back to the beginning, just like you say, what are you swabbing? What are you finding out? What are you using as a point of reference to find the beginning?
Exactly. And it goes back to the theory even of science and psyching the mind. I don't believe that they really care whether or not they can really establish a point of proof. Their whole thing is mastering the art of making you think their way, which is really the art of man. Most people now, the danger in most religions, they want to make you think a particular way rather than really show you what the Word of God is saying through the Bible, through the fixed Word of the Bible, the fixed Word of God, you know. Just as you stated, in the beginning was God, and the Word was God, and the Word was in the beginning with God. It was not anything made that was made without Him, according to the Word of God, you see. So they want to make you think a particular way rather than allowing us to think according to the Word of God. Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, be also in you. In other words, I understand that you want to think the way you want to think, but you'll be better off if you think according to the way that I command you to think. Even Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts that are good, not evil, to give unto you an expected end. God has a train of thought that is just fixed. I mean, it's fixed and it's fixed right.
Yeah, and speaking on God's thoughts, if man tries to put himself on the level of thinking as God thinks, it's never going to happen because doesn't he say in the Word that his thoughts are not like our thoughts?
That's exactly right. Isaiah 55.
Mr. Hawkins thinks himself so intelligent that he can put himself on the level of thinking as God thought. He said something in his past book, one that was released in 1988, and they said he was saying this metaphorically speaking. He wrote of man's steps toward figuring out the universe as attempts to know the mind of God.
Hmm.
I don't think
No, but, you know, even going back before that, you have to say when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So then we have to go and conclude and understand, is he speaking in the mind of a man or a child?
Mm.
Because, see, there are different things that we can go by to discern how you came about with your logic or your way of progressing the thought, because we are beings of processes. We know that, you know, when you grow up, you're going to, you know, go to age 2, age 3. We don't skip ages. So science teaches us that they go through this process of trying to figure things out, but they never have the actual beginning process. It's only where the science began or where the thought began or where the apple fell on his head, and he say, what's pulling the apple down? So it must be gravity. In some sense, so it starts at places, but it never starts at the origin or the root of where it actually began.
But, you know, it's just amazing how a scientist with all their education and degrees can come up with the fact that something just came from nothing.
Wow.
Where did matter come from? Where did energy come from? How did it just come from nothing?
But it's not that amazing, because they have to, as we start off, they have to figure out something. See, if you spend all these years in school and you don't have anything published in the whatever scientific journal and all these other journals, they're going to say, well, what did you stay in school for? You're not doing anything. You're not giving anybody any profound information from all your years of studies. So you have to figure out and say, okay, it's like working on a thesis in school. What do I want to write my thesis on? So whatever he writes, he has to try and do the process that we were talking about to show that this is a logical progression of where I'm trying to go. So if you see where I'm going, y'all can all sign on board with me and be in agreement. But it doesn't mean that he's basing it on facts. He's basing it on what he must do to make his name be a scientist.
But, I mean, I just think it doesn't even stand to reason when he says spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing. Why the universe exists, why we exist from spontaneous creation? That's ridiculous.
I'm important. I put words together all the time. I can make words be whatever.
Yeah, but I want to say this, too. I want to say this, if I can. The comprehensive the comprehensive constitutional conglomerate of their theory, it begins and it is established on the ability. I want to say this, and perhaps we can get past it. It starts on their ability to disregard God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way that they can come up there. Let me disregard God. Let me forget God. Let me just totally put him out of my mind or out of my understanding, or let me put him off the workspace, put him off my workspace and come up with my own thing.
Let me go tackle the biggest giant I can find and disprove him, and then I'm on to something.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly, because God was definitely the Goliath in this thing. Only thing, he was Goliath, both Goliath and David. was not going to be slayed and conquered this time. Amen. Yeah, God is he's too big for our mind. I was about to say earlier, and I guess you all couldn't hear me, we are finite while God is infinite. We have a beginning and an ending. We have a starting point and a stopping point. We're finite. We can just go just so far. But God is infinite. I mean, the possibilities and the realities of God are infinite. They are so infinite and so in-depth and beyond our minute comprehension. He's beyond what we can think. Galatians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think.
Mm-hmm.
God is beyond our, he's beyond our wildest imaginations.
But we can't even comprehend his greatness.
We really cannot comprehend God's greatness. That's a good word. Thank you.
I think so. In this whole theory, it's just amazing how the atheist, if you don't believe in something, why do you continue to talk about it?
Mm-hmm. And that was my point. You know, how are you going to be something that you don't believe in if it's not so? You know, it's like if you don't believe in monsters or ghosts or whatever else, it's the same theory. You wouldn't start a group saying we are people that don't believe in ghosts.
People,
so that means that there has to be a ghost somewhere that you are referencing your beliefs or what you don't believe off of.
Good word. And people believe in being conquerors. They can't. They've discovered they can't conquer God, but they can conquer some men.
See, Stephen Hawking had made a comment previously that he said that he believes the universe is governed by the laws of science. He further stated that the laws may be decreed by God, but God does not intervene to break the laws.
Well, see, that's right. That's just like Satan, if you allow me. Satan will always tell you a little good so he can tell you a lot of lies. He's right. God does not intervene to break the laws because the word of God says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What God will not do at any time is go against his word.
Wow.
He never will, because if God were to go against his word, everything that is would dissipate and become something else or become nothing. But because God said it, it is eternally affixed, and it is so.
Why do you think this became such a hot debate this week?
Well, because, you know, we live in an era where we have 24-hour news services on all channels. Every major station owns a news service, MSNBC, CNN, you know, all these other shows. So when you're going through the gamut and you're Googling whatever, you see who got the most hits or who's popular at the time, and you make that the story. And when you make that the story, everybody else will see that you made that the story, so they're going to make that the story. So now everybody's talking about something that's such an insignificant thing, whether it's the people that was dancing at their wedding instead of, you know, where they broke out in the middle of a dance, whatever it was. So now you have everybody mimicking that. Or the little baby that was on the Internet, that was the little baby dancing that they had for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those things are hot topics because they want to show what people are interested in, you know, what other people, because you have news services now to say, okay, hot topic on Twitter, hot topic on Facebook, hot topic on MySpace. It, because they are trying to get dollars, advertising dollars from saying Twitter, from saying Facebook, from saying whatever. So you talk about the hot topics, and you're in line because they don't care about you talking about, they don't care what the topic is, just say Facebook, just say Twitter, just say MySpace, just say brought to you by Sears and Roebuck, brought to you by Chevrolet.
Well,
you know, they have stadiums where they pay $100 million a year, you know, just to have their name on the stadium. And nobody says the stadium. They just walk up there and see the name. That's advertising. That's branding.
That's true. Well, I'd like to differ with that just a little bit from a very spiritual standpoint. The reason that is such a hot topic is because, of course, we're facing the coming of Christ, the soon coming of Christ.
Okay.
And my show host, Carrie Hines, she always says the enemy is picking up speed. The devil has picked up speed. So what's happening here is because Christ is coming soon, you know, it's like a thief that has broken into a store, and he can hear the sirens, and he knows the police is coming. So he begins to gather all that he can gather before the police come and think he's going to get out with it and get safe. Well, the enemy is going to take as many as he can with him, you know, to the pit of hell, which was never even created for mankind. It was created for Satan and his fallen hosts from heaven. But because the Bible also says that hell is enlarging its belly. And I know folks don't like to hear from that on a talk show. Oh, my God, he didn't say that. Well, I'm a preacher, and that's who I am. That's who I'm always going to be. Hell is enlarging its belly. And the enemy will use whomever he can to really mess up the minds of people, to turn them away from faith in God, to keep them from believing, keep them from seeking God, so that they will change their life and be all that God would have for them to be in this world, so that they'll be ready and prepared for him when he comes and cracks the sky. Not only that, if he can influence me to believe that God didn't do it, that God really is not God, then I'm going to stop trying to influence my neighbor and my brother and my sister to change and to turn their life and to respect God, to turn towards God and to become faithful towards God, to become faithful in God, to allow God to live in them on a daily basis.
You know, some would say that this was an attack against Christianity. And the Washington Post, if I can add this, reprinted some of the comments that were made on Twitter after Mr. Hawking's comment made the Internet. I was surprised that Christians, you know, you know, became so angry that they lashed out. And there were comments on there that, that said things like, God did not create the universe, as Stephen Hawking, to which God replied, enjoy your chair. Because Mr. Hawking has, you know, has a disorder in which, or disease, I don't know, which is a neuro muscular disorder that has him wheelchair bound. And so I was surprised that a Christian would say that. Someone else went on to say when Stephen Hawking dies, he can tell God how he never created the universe. So I was very surprised at the mean things that people said. But one person who was a Christian came back and said, a genius with a debilitating disease says something we disagree with, so we make fun of his wheelchair and laugh at his impending death. Great. Yeah, this is why people have trouble taking us seriously. So what made Christians react that way?
Well, the thing is, you have the one person that's
Christian. They're not Christian. The Bible says in Jude, the ninth verse, it says, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring railing accusations against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. I think people forget the fact that only God is God. Whatever Mr. Hawking says, he's not God. If they're confident in the fact that God is God, and even confident in the fact that they really are a Christian, truly a Christian, they could hear what he says and begin to pray for that man. That man needs prayer. I hope that God could infiltrate him and touch his heart before he leaves this world.
That's true. That's true. What were you saying, AJ?
I was saying, because so many people, see, in between everything that we are still humans. And so many people, when you touch them where they live or where they breathe, a lot of people lash out because they're not in control of their fat. You know, they say, well, everybody get mad every now and then, but you're supposed to be able to control that in the realm of where you are. But I was just saying that the one person that actually came in and gave the apology actually helped everybody else that had posted something that they can't erase anymore to see the error of their ways. Because so often, you know, God uses examples of people like the rocks crying out. And see, a lot of times it don't mean that the rocks are going to cry out, or the rocks could if he needed to, but he will find the person most unlikely to say what it is that need to be said to say it. He will find the person most unlikely to do whatever needs to be done, and they would do it. And they say, why did you do that? I don't know. It just came to me. Because you were the one supposed to do it, but you were sitting on your butt.
That's
so he gave it to somebody, you know, but you with me, right? You see where I'm going with it?
Yeah, certainly. Even Mr. AJ, I'll say this. So much that you said was right. You made a comment that I really wanted to jump on top of in the beginning, but it kind of slipped my mind when you make so many pertinent points, you know. I'll go with it, you know, but you're so right about those things. There are so many people who profess to be Christians that really are not. This is the reason that somebody like Mr. Hawking can unseat them. You see, we're not to be moved by what we hear or even by what we see. It shouldn't just unsettle the church. Oh, he said God is not God. Oh, how can a man tell you that God, who is a spirit, how can he tell you that God is not God? You got to get in the spirit to know that God is not God or if God is God. If you're not even in the spirit, how can you even discuss God, who is the spirit?
But don't you think, though, that Christians probably found it blasphemy for him to say that God didn't create the universe, and so therefore that's where the rage came from? Because
I do. I think we tend to desire more to be defenders of our faith, in which we're only defenders of our right to think faith. And I don't think God wants us to just be thinkers of faith, but he wants us to be faithful. The living according to faith. And when we're really living according to faith, we'll find ourselves not having to fight as much, you know, but to just be who God says we are. Matter of fact, if the world gets a chance to really see God in us who profess to be Christians, such arguments become obsolete and totally of none effect.
And that was my point. But see, the other point I wanted to make is, also in agreement with you, is that, see, we are not in control. It's like a young kid with a gun that could possibly shoot himself. We mm-hmm. our tongues are that weapon sometimes,
yeah.
and we're not in control of it. So in listening to others, we tend to judge them on what they said.
Right.
And now we become judge and jury, so we're going to declare the sentence on them with our words, with the bad words that we pass on. So that means that we are illegally just firing our weapon in the wrong direction.
That's exactly right. And often we don't take out the time to allow God to be judge. Who is the judge?
But don't you think maybe they saw in his comments what people saw in Madeline O'Hara when she was taking prayer out of the schools? Do you think maybe that's the same type of rage that evolved from that comment or evolved in people when he made that comment?
That is excellent, because that's exactly what I see. As a matter of fact, I think most of us who are of radical thinking or rational thinking, we can see where Madeline O'Hara's actions, we can see where it led us as a society of people. Mm-hmm. And we can definitely see where this man, Mr. Hawkins' statement, if we were to buy into that, we could definitely see where he could lead us, because what his statement is going to take you further into the abyss than we are now.
Hey, Jamie, do you agree with that?
Well, my thing on that is, you know, because I can see how that can be, but my problem with it is that we as a people, as Christians, as human beings, as African Americans, as, you know, members of this society, are so on the just being reactionary side.
Exactly. Good word.
So to say that she changed it, she didn't.
No,
it was just that everybody waited for it to be in that realm to where they said, oh, this is in court. You know, that was news that it was going to court way before it went. But there was no reaction from the people. There was no other voices there but hers. So this was the fight. So once it's in court, to come up fighting on something that's getting ready to be judged on is just completely reactionary. You know, you can run to the corner and use your cell phone and call that somebody shot on the corner, but if you saw that person standing there and it about to happen and you didn't stop it in the process, you are just like the shooter.
Mm.
Wow.
I agree with that. We're down to our
left. I like that giggle, Pastor. I like that giggle, you know, because that's what I do sometimes when I'm in agreement. I like that giggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're down to our last 2 minutes, guys. Is there anything y'all want to add to this debate, I mean, that you haven't said? I mean, for those that got angry at his comments to Mr. Hawkins himself, you know, anything you want to add to the argument or debate?
Well, I would, because the scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So, in other words, we have the authority. Proverbs 18:21 also says life and death are in the power of the tongue. In other words, we don't have to just stand by, and I agree with AJ, we don't have to just stand by and be reactors. We don't have to allow that to set us off, but we can act upon that thing where he says God isn't. We begin to speak life and say God is. Psalms 20:27-1, the Lord is my life. The Lord is. Psalms 23:1 says the Lord is. So many of the scriptures say God is. The Lord is. All we have to do is open our mouth. When they say God is not, we got to say God is.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And our faith is not in man, so we really shouldn't have been so angered by his comments. We should have just taken it as another scientist coming up with another theory.
The thing I want to add is that, you know, like, there are so many conversations and so many people gathering to have, you know, big media groupings to talk about something somebody else said to give credence to their word.
Mm-hmm.
See,
right.
So often, if he had said this, wrote the book, he spent his money on the book, or somebody published the book, they spent some money on whoever. If you don't buy the book, it's still just a book.
Mm-hmm.
See,
right.
we spend so much time dispelling what everybody else say that we are becoming like the scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So instead of, I'm not trying to give credence to what he said, I'm just trying to give a purpose to us. You know, for somebody to say it, let's talk about God is and talk about this. And we don't have to bring his name up because his words are so insignificant that
That's
on the
right.
basic premise that he started on, that something was created from the force of gravity, and we already understood that matter can neither be created nor destroyed, so everything is matter. So his first premise was incorrect. So therefore, his book is incorrect. We don't have to go any further than that in the discussion of this man's work.
That's it.
And you know what people forget, too? This man's book that he published in 88, was it 98, 88, that book stayed on the bestsellers list for 237 weeks. So if there's a reason that he couldn't come back and tell us the same thing and we buy another book.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to change it up a little bit in order for us to come back and buy the new book.
Yeah, what's the time span? 88
right.
to 2010?
Yeah, yeah.
22 years?
Yeah, yeah. But so obviously the book was still selling, and then finally he said, okay, that's not working anymore. That the other book, was A Brief History of Time, was published in 1988.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, 22 years. So he probably hadn't had anything in the journals, and they're saying, okay, what are you doing over there, my brother? We giving you all these dollars for your scientific discoveries and for your research and development, but what are you researching and development? So he write a quick book and say, this is what I'm working on. I'm working on dispelling the theory of God.
Right.
I'm going to throw a different question, and I'm not being a mean Christian, but I'm just throwing this out there. Could he really just be a man who is confined to a wheelchair and is just angry with God?
I said that when you told me.
Yeah, that's
possible.
You know, a bad Christian. But I really just wonder if he's just an angry person who sits down and thinks of things to call himself getting back at God. I don't know. That's just my theory.
This wouldn't just be something about him.
I'm saying it wouldn't be just about him.
I'm saying because we as humans, we as people, a lot of times we don't know that we're mad about something until we sit down and find the origin of our disgust.
That's right. Good word.
You know, when you sit down and find, okay, why am I acting like this? Why? You say, oh, yeah, that happened. So that's the origin. See, we never search the origin within ourselves, but we want to search the origin in other people. You know, you can't, and I think that so often we refuse to look in our own mirror. Not just look in the mirror, climb in the mirror and discover yourself, discover the image held there and reexamine yourself.
Miss Carrie, I'd like to say to you, thank you for having me on your show today.
No
problem. It's really been a pleasure dialoguing and commenting, you know, on this particular subject today. Since matter can neither be created nor destroyed, I think I can conclude in saying that it doesn't matter.
Okay, well, let me conclude with this. You guys need to tell them how they can reach you. Pastor Bill, tell them when your show airs here on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Pastor Bill, I'm going to have to get with him. He's going to be hearing from me.
Bless
I'm
going
to make sure you guys get connected. Pastor Bill, tell them how to reach out to you.
You can reach out to me on Tuesday evening, Central Standard Time at 4:30, to hear the prophetic fragrance.
Okay.
And we'd be glad to share with you there. As a matter of fact, if you look on there, you'll probably be able to find. You can find me on Facebook. Follow me on Facebook. And or you can email me if you'd like.
What's your name on Facebook?
My name on Facebook is Prophet William Thompson Jr. Yeah. And you can email me at speaking2u@sbcglobal.net.
Okay, AJ, tell them how to reach out to you.
Okay, my name is AJ Houston on everything that I'm on because I can't be nobody else. You can find me on Facebook. I also have a fan page on Facebook. I have a network I'm building called weekendbookstv.com. My email is ajwordartist, that's word, W-R-D, artist, A-R-T-I-S-T, at yahoo.com. And just contact me, and I definitely want to get with you, Pastor, because I think we can actually have some interesting dialogues on whatever subject.
I'd love to.
Okay. Thank you guys for being my guest. I really enjoyed the topic. I hope we enlighten the audience on what we think of Stephen Hawking and his theory about God not being a part of the creation of the universe. All we can say in conclusion is thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, have a good day now. Thank you very much.
Bye.